outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, February 15th, the day after Valentine's Day.
Yes, the morning after.
Yeah, and you had an anti-Valentine's Day party.
I did. I had an anti-Valentine's Day. It was fun. It was really fun. I had probably maybe like 50, 60 people show up.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people.
It was good. I needed it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And was it fun? That's a lot of people in your house.
I had fun. I had fun. It was my anti-men party.
Mm-hmm.
For right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll just leave it at that.
Okay, we won't ask you too many questions.
No, but it was a fun party. It was really fun. A lot of good people, good friends show up, and we made a whole dance floor in the back, and it was a good time.
With your pink Christmas tree.
I had a pink Christmas tree, right. I know, and I put red lights on it, and then I cut out little hearts, so when everyone comes in, they had to write why they hate Valentine's Day, why love sucks, or something else along those lines, and then sign their name on it and put it on our tree.
Wow.
So it was an anti-love tree. Yeah. I know.
Oh, well, what can I tell you, you know. But I decided to sort of subscribe to the day yesterday. So we took a basket, a picnic basket, went to the park.
Oh.
And that was nice. It was
adorable.
A nice day and stuff,
good.
You know. So it was good. There were like foxes walking around us and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, it was amazing. Griffith Park, not
I
far from
Griffith
where
Park.
You are. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was pretty fun there. And you know, flowers, the usual stuff.
The whole fluff the cards, of it all. All right.
I'm usually like against it, you know, but
that's fine.
But
that's
no,
cute.
I thought
that's
I'm not
cute.
Gonna fight it anymore, you know.
Oh, just, well, good.
Just do it. Yeah.
I'm sure she was happy, right?
Yeah, very. Yeah.
Good.
I was happy too. You know? I mean, it was fun.
And it beats going out, you know. Like that's why some don't spend money. If you spend money, it's like so cliche. It's like you can do so many things without spending money.
Yeah.
And I
you
think
know?
It's more romantic.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, and I think you gave me an idea, didn't you?
Like, I did. I gave you that idea, actually.
Yeah.
I said, go on a picnic.
Yeah, that's true.
It's
yeah.
so much better.
I didn't realize why I got that idea. Now
yeah,
I know.
It was for me. I'll take credit. It was for me. Yeah.
Awesome. Well,
good. I'm glad that you guys had fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, we have a very special guest
yes.
in the studio. We might as well bring her in. I don't want her to sit and wait too long. So we have Miss Debbie Allen in the studio. Welcome.
Yay, thank you. Hi.
Good morning.
Good.
Good morning.
We were like so excited all week knowing you'd be here.
Yes.
That is
and
so nice. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. And we, you know, and we were telling everybody, and everybody's so excited and everything, you know. So, so it's a pleasure to have you.
It was a pleasure to be here, really.
Oh, wonderful.
You have a great show.
Thank you. Do you live in L.A. or are
I
you
do.
Just visiting?
No, I live here. I have a big academy here, the Debbie Allen Dance Academy.
Oh, I see. Okay, because from the press that they sent, I thought you were like coming into town for a limited time and then you go somewhere else, so I wasn't sure.
No, they're probably just protecting me because they know I'm always busy doing a lot of things.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I spent Valentine's Day downtown with all the young people and the parents at the meeting with the school board just trying to bring a voice to let's not do this proposed budget cut of taking all the arts out of education.
That's
oh, wow.
So
things. That's what they want to do?
Yeah, that's where I was. That's how I spent Valentine's Day.
It's cool that you do noble things, though, you know?
Well, it's not noble. It's like you have to. I mean, you know, it's not what they want to do. It's really kind of like their challenge to balance this budget, and our governor's not really done a good job, so we got to really go down to Sacramento, honey. We're going to have to shake him up a little bit.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, I think it's so wrong. It's like if you take art out of schools, I mean, growing up for me, art was my life.
Right.
You know, I was just like, okay, I have all these classes to go through, but all I cared about was my art, my dance. Actually, I have a funny story about that. Yeah.
Dance? Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, you were like my idol. Like,
really?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, that's what she was saying. So it's a special day for her, for sure.
Yeah. So I was a dancer for many years.
Oh, great. Yeah. Once you're a dancer, you're always a dancer. It's still true. In there. All right. You were jamming last night. All right.
I was jamming last night. But it's been a while.
Yeah.
So they want to cut out, like, all the arts in the school, well, like music and everything.
They started this initiative, like, over the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was a big protest at Hamilton, which is one of the most art-affiliated high schools in the city, and they were taking the music out and everything, and parents were just, you know, blogging up in the streets. Mm-hmm. And so now they're talking about taking out the arts education out of early elementary school education, stopping preschool education, and also taking out adult education to balance the budget. And this is just illogical.
Yeah.
That's
illogical.
Crazy.
It's just not even this. You can't even have these conversations because, you know, you can't just teach these days just math and science. It's got to be some arts to help young people find their voice.
And develop.
I mean, because America is standing tall, maybe not because of our resources. You know, we're talking about China outdistancing us and India. But the truth is America outdistances everyone in innovation. Mm-hmm. And it is that technology and creativity that has given the world Facebook, iPod, iPad.
Right.
You know, these new technologies. I mean, one that we can talk about today.
Yeah, for sure. So tell us a little bit about your background and everything. Where were you born? Here in L.A.?
I was born in Houston, Texas.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Uh-huh. And I grew up there in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And then my mom packed us up and we lived in Mexico City for a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was that like?
That was incredible to be somewhere. It was like being in another planet.
Yeah.
We didn't speak the language. And we learned about the food and the culture. We grew up Diego Rivera murals all around us.
Wow.
And there was no racial segregation. It was why mama moved. So why we
packed. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's interesting. Huh?
Because I couldn't go to dance class.
Really?
No, I couldn't go to dance
class.
I know. She tried to pretend I was Mexican. They still wouldn't take me.
Really?
No way. I swear. This is so true. But finally, things started to change. But yeah, I grew up in Texas with those wide open skylines, which is so great for a young person. Mm-hmm. Whatever your economic background, you grew up with Texas with a wide spacious, you know, sky over you and made you able to think and contemplate things.
Yeah. Plus, that was way back then. They didn't have all the tall buildings and everything, you know, so today it's a lot different.
Yeah, well, they have tall buildings, but Texas has a lot of space.
Yeah.
It's
that's
not
true.
Like when I went to New York, I was like,
you're like,
oh my God. I just kept thinking they were going to fall down any minute. It was no skyline.
Yeah,
none
that's
at
true.
All.
That's
until
true.
Unless you went to the river.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so so you came back to Texas after Mexico City?
Yeah, I went back to Texas. And when I was in Mexico, I studied with the Ballet Nacional, and I went to the Bellas Artes every Sunday.
Oh.
And by the time I came back, I got a full scholarship to the Houston Ballet Foundation, which had not allowed me all those years before, had opened its doors, and I was the first black kid to go into that school.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah, amazing. And then I graduated with honors and went to Howard University and landed after many years of studying Greek, classical Greek, and studying dance the whole time. Went to New York following my sister, Felicia Rashad. That's my sister.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Bill Cosby's wife.
Yeah.
That's my big sister.
Wow.
And just kept working and studying and then, you know, went from theater to a dance company back to Broadway and then finally did Fame after a couple of movies and other things.
Right. Now, just going back a little bit, when did you first feel you liked dancing?
I can't remember not dancing.
She's
the truth is,
really? Not kicking.
I think I've, you know, this is phrased on a lot of shirts and born to dance.
Yeah.
I think I'm one of them. I think I came out. I don't remember not dancing. Let's put it that
way.
Because as a little tiny kid, I was the entertainment for the family.
Yeah.
Like if it was my grandmother's birthday or somebody's, you know.
Yeah. I can see everybody sitting around and you dancing around the room.
Just dancing, just jumping up. You know, and I got to a point where they had to watch me because then I started jumping all out of the trees trying to fly. You know, they were like, okay, Debbie, Miss Deborah, that's my real name, Deborah Kay, calm down. So I think the spirit of that dance lives in so many young people, and it's why I started the Debbie Allen Dance Academy, so I could give that opportunity to kids, you know, not unlike myself, or kids who need the opportunity. And it's not, it's an incredible academy where I have, it's right here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So I'm rooted in Los Angeles. I mean, I have the prima ballerina from the Bolshoi on my faculty, premier danceur from Alvin Ailey, amazing flamenco master, you know, and for kids who 70% of the kids are on scholarship, you know.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And so I'm always out there with a tin cup trying to help make it different, you know, for them. Yeah. I know what it did for me, and kids need it now. They're being challenged by a lot more than just racism today.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's a lot more. There's bullying, and there's all that kind of stuff.
Well, there's a threat of nuclear proliferation. My God. I mean, you know.
Don't get me started on that one.
Don't let's start on that one. I know. Woo-hoo.
So, so you've developed all kinds of different dances and things like that, right?
Yes.
Did you start to invent like your own dances and stuff like that, or was it more like?
I would love to take that credit, but the truth is I'm very well trained. Mm. I studied with the Houston Ballet Foundation with a Russian teacher for 4 years, and I took 10 classes a week.
Wow.
And by the time I got to New York, I was then introduced into the world of Katherine Dunham, into jazz dancing, and I actually worked with Bob Fosse and Jerome Robbins in the lead, playing Anita in West Side Story on Broadway, playing the title role of Sweet Charity with Bob Fosse. Wow. So I'm very well trained, let me just put it this way, with a very comprehensive vocabulary, which is what I'm teaching at my school, because dance is a language that is spoken all over the world.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
It is fantastic. I actually was cultural ambassador for the United States for like 6 years, and I made trips to China and to India, and you would be amazed at what a unifying art dance and music are, and what a great export it is out of America. When you go someplace like China, okay, just take China. I mean, I didn't know what to expect, but I went into a room and I had 400 students, and I'm telling you, some of the boys were wearing the pants down low, had their ears pierced, they had tattoos. I'm like, child, where in the hell are we? Where are we? Hello? But that language of the dance,
right,
where
yeah,
we don't even understand each other, where we don't even understand we're praying to the same God, we are dancing to the same beat. Mm-hmm. So I'm just very passionate about the arts and what it can do. Just not just individually, which is amazing, but just globally.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's a conversation that won't end because we disagree about religion or politics. It won't stop. That's a conversation that won't end.
Right.
That's true. It's like an international language of.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you don't need to speak the language to really enjoy it. And, you know, and there's all kinds of different dancing and stuff. You know, I developed like a liking for dancing early on and, you know, when I was a kid and stuff like this. But I never really appreciated it, you know, because I didn't understand it. I still don't.
Let's say. You had no lessons, no training. Where'd you grow up?
No. I grew up in Israel until I was 16, and then I moved to Vegas. I lived in Vegas for a while.
That's a real dynamic change.
It is.
Israel to Vegas. Right? Oh, my
God. It is.
16 years old in Vegas?
Yeah, you see? But it's a family day, so that's where I landed.
Oh,
yeah.
I want to hear those stories.
Yeah, right?
I
want to
hear those stories.
I'm trying.
We need a few days for those. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about the, so you got into, so Fame came around, right?
Fame came around and actually we went to Israel. That was one of our greatest trips.
Really?
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah, we went around the world. Fame left a footprint that is still yet to be, you know, topped. I'm happy about Glee and all these other, you know, but Fame really created schools of the performing arts around the world.
Really?
Around the world.
Right.
Everywhere.
So it brought the consciousness of dancing to a lot of people who weren't exposed to it before.
Not just dance, but that young people at an age, that teenage age, really could have a voice and their direction and in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what was great about FAME. Young people were really taking hold of where they were trying to go. They were guided by great teachers, but they had a sense of themselves.
Right.
And the art just came bouncing out of that television, just grabbing people in their living room and pulling them into the screen.
Yeah.
And so we went around the world. My God, we got off the plane in London, and I thought we were the Beatles. I'm like, what?
Wow.
They were rocking the buses. And,
oh, wow.
And right. in Israel, oh, my God, Israel was so amazing because I had no idea what Israel was going to be like. Mm-hmm. I kept thinking it'd be like a desert.
Yeah, like the desert.
Yeah, please. It was like North Carolina, somewhere, the green hills and the food and the people. And I realized that people really looked like me.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, we were connected. And I just remembered meeting these sisters, Ula and Galit. I will never forget them because they were in the army and I didn't have an understanding of women joining the army
right.
at this young age. I didn't understand any of that.
Right, yeah. And that's pretty much mandatory in Israel. I mean, women
this
have the
crazy.
Choice,
yeah.
but they still go for like 2 years at least, you know?
Yeah.
And just pretty much everybody goes to the military in Israel. And, you know, you don't have a choice.
Right.
But they loved culture and art there and everything,
oh,
you know?
Oh, yeah,
so
for
it's,
real.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So it was one of our greatest trips to Israel and to London and Spain. And that was one of the great things about FAME. FAME
right.
was a great show. We did it 6 years. It was like,
wow.
for me, being in film school for 6 years because I kept learning and pushing the envelope.
Right.
We were the first television show to ever have a Steadicam. And I was doing jump cut dance numbers that they didn't understand before. Spike Lee had ever done those kind of things.
Wow.
They cut it all because they didn't understand it, but I was trying. Child, I tried. I was trying. I was always a little ahead of my time. So that was a great, great time in my life.
Yeah.
Those kids, I'm still connected to all of them that are here. I lost quite a few of my dance company to AIDS, and Gene Anthony Ray, my son, who I lost him, and I was just, that was devastating for me.
Yeah.
For him to die so early. That was hard. Yeah.
Was that your son or
well,
just,
I call him
you
my
called
son.
Him your
We're
son?
Close
he was
yeah.
my son on Aww. Television. In fact, yeah. when I actually gave birth to a son, Gene cried because he's like, but now I'm not your son. I said, yes, you are. It was that
That's
close
cute.
A relationship. Gene would call me in the middle of the night, no matter where he was in the world. He could call me and I'd wake up and respond to whatever it was.
Yeah. So now how did you get the gig? I mean, by that point, were you pretty successful in your own right?
Yeah, I was actually doing Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
I had done West Side Story.
That's
I had
right.
shot the movie Ragtime.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a strike going on. And I had done the pilot of FAME. No, I had done the movie FAME.
The movie.
And in the movie, I was actually supposed to be the nemesis for Irene Cara's character.
Oh.
But we never got to shoot my song and my dance number because the movie was already 10 hours long. So they gave me the dress, said, we love you, Debbie Allen. You're going to be great in something, but this is all you're getting to do right now.
Yeah.
And you just realize that there are no such things as a small part because I only had one line in the movie.
Right.
She asked me, what do you call that? I said, wicked. All I said.
Really?
And then the next thing I know, I'm the dance teacher in 6 years and a producer, a director, and all these wonderful things.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you handled the choreography in the on the TV show, not
yes.
in the movie, though,
not
right?
Not in the movie, no.
Yeah. And what about, was it on Broadway too, the show, or was it?
Not a
no,
show
huh?
that we were a part of. There was
I
a
see.
FAME show that kind of prattled around. I think it's still going around somewhere.
Oh.
But
I
had nothing to do with it. None of us had anything to do with that
yeah.
show.
Yeah.
That was something different. We did the tours. We did the FAME tour. We never did really an American tour. We did Central Park in New York
right.
one year. But we were always international.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. It had an international appeal and stuff. Yeah. When did you start dancing?
Gosh, I started when I was 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I was so shy when I was little. So
yeah.
shy. So my parents stuck me in dance thinking I'd open
yeah.
up and I never shut up. So.
Yeah. So it does help. Huh?
Yeah, it does.
Oh, this is
it
good.
Does.
Yeah.
yeah.
I see that with my kids all the time.
Yeah.
They come in a little wallflower and then they blossom. And
I know.
Then
it's like, wow.
Hair comes down. The glasses come off and like shoo, honey, hey. Pull that dress back down, honey. It's going up too high.
Right, right. Yeah.
So I would imagine after that you continued. And when did you start your school?
I started the Debbie Allen Dance Academy 11 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And I had done the Oscars probably 8 times by then. I produced a movie called Amistad that Steven
directed. Oh, yeah. You produced it?
Yes, it was my idea that I brought to Steven. It was what an incredible journey, that whole thing. I should write that book one day.
Yeah.
That was a great experience with him. He's forever my brother.
I would imagine.
Oh, forever, forever. I love him. I just love him to death. He's amazing.
Yeah.
And I came out of that, Rick Carter, the production designer, and I have remained and were very close. And he won the Oscar for his production designs for Avatar. He's an amazing artist and human being. And we kept talking about it. And he says, Debbie, what are you waiting for? And I said, I don't know. Because everywhere I went, I was teaching dance. Everywhere I went, parents were asking me, when is your school going to open? Miss Allen, when can I bring my children to you?
Wow.
And so I looked up and I sent my daughter across, you know, to be in the Kirov Academy at 13. I'm like, why do I have to send my child away?
Yeah.
This is crazy. I'm Debbie Allen. I know I could do something. So I did. So I took my own personal savings. I wasn't even 501, you know, nonprofit to start. I couldn't even raise any money. Mm. I spent, my husband was looking at me going, what is she doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I spent our savings and I started the school and I got the best teachers from the beginning. And we got kids coming in and we didn't even have any scholarships. So a lot of them came but couldn't stay because I didn't even have a scholarship to give them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there was one boy that came in. My God, he had the longest legs and the biggest feet. I'm just like, I don't care. You're in. I will pay for your classes. And this young man went on to win gold medals.
Wow.
In ballet, this tall, beautiful black boy. Just beautiful. So we've had many, many successes coming out of the Debbie Allen Dance Academy over the years. Our students are everywhere on Broadway, on television, in movies, choreographing, even some of them wanting to start their own schools. One of my proteges really was close to winning So You Think You Can Dance, William Wingfield.
Uh-huh.
He's got a whole new thing now, the Golden Child Project. People could probably find it on the internet. It's a wonderful thing that he's doing, documenting his journey to finding more self-discovery and language of dance and creativity.
Right. What do you think of Dancing with the Stars? Is that
I like it.
Do you really?
I love it. I do.
You know what? I like it. I like it especially when they bring on people who have nothing to do with dance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's cheating when you bring in somebody that's like the Osmonds. I mean, I love Marie, but that, she's been training for
dancing
her whole
forever.
Life.
Yeah.
That's true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You bring in an ice skater. Come on, they're dancing on ice. That's cheating.
Like my sister.
But I love it when you have Emmett and you have Kyle from That's Right. Even Palin. Sarah Palin's daughter. Newton. I was really coming in to see Wayne. Because Wayne sings. He is not a dancer.
Right.
But I was watching every week just to see what he was going to be wearing and what was he going to be doing. And they got they're getting ready to start up again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the day that I'm on it because I will be on it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, whenever I say something, I wind up doing it. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That's a fun thing to do.
I will be on it.
Well, you know, and people that go into it with the right intent. Don't go in there all nervous because, they're going to read you. They're going to talk bad about you. But you got to go in for fun. You got to go in and knowing that you're, a fish out of water and you're just going to have fun.
Exactly.
And by the time you leave, you will know some kind of dance. And that's
exactly.
I really love that show. And of course, I love So You Think You Can Dance.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
that's about the real dancers.
That's like more really amateurs and stuff, right?
Well, these are young people who've been training most of their lives in something. Because, you know, they like to say, hip-hop dancer. But hip-hop dancers train to do that.
Mm. Yep.
You don't just wake up and pop.
That's the I would hip-hop. You're right. I train in everything.
You got to practice. Michael Jackson practiced almost every day.
I would imagine in order to be that good.
He kept it sharp.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you just a street dance and you don't train. So all of the people on that show have a degree of training and mm-hmm. certainly talent and ability. And I just love watching it, and I judge it sometimes. Mm. Yes. Try to keep those judges from being too nasty. They can get a little tough
they
sometimes.
They can. Ooh. Yeah. You know, they should get you on a show for judging. I think that would be great.
I do it
sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Who else if not Debbie Allen?
I know. That would be amazing.
Yeah. Well, they like me because I'm funny and I am fair and articulate because I do know the craft. But you know, I mean, I remember one time I was judging. So you think, and there was this little guy dancing with this big girl. Honey, he handled her. And when he finished, I said, handle your big woman. That's what I'm saying. Hold on to that heifer. Throw her around. You get all the points from me. Yes. I mean, just keep it real sometimes.
Aww. Yeah. That's amazing. So let's go into some of the things you're involved with right now.
Yes, yes.
And I know you're part of the Pacemakers organization.
Yes, join the pacemakers.com. Join the Pacemakers campaign is a campaign that I have joined as a real call to action and information to the public. I think celebrity is really great if you're doing great work and people admire you and can aspire to you, but it's also part of your responsibility to be a voice to the community,
right.
Call to action, raise a hand, and people pay attention. Just like going downtown yesterday with those teachers, there were cameras weren't rolling, but when they saw me, they turned the cameras on and I could speak.
Yeah.
So join the Pacemakers campaign. Is a campaign to really educate the public about new technology that is available. Mm. You know, historically, people that have pacemakers can't get an MRI. They're not compatible, but there is new technology. And if you don't know this, you know, if you go in and they say you have to have a pacemaker, you don't think about, oh, do I have a choice? Or you just think, okay, we'll put it in, honey, so it'll keep beating. No, there are choices, and we need to know this. And the reason I care about this so much is because heart disease has run in my family my whole life.
Wow.
I lost my dad to it, my aunt died in my arms with a heart attack. My uncle Joe was one of the first recipients of a heart transplant in Texas with the famed DeBakey team. But a year ago, one of my best friends in life, Armando Zatina, who's my muscle therapist, who's kept me dancing all these years, out of the blue had to go in and have a pacemaker. He didn't know, even though he's in the world of medicine and sending people for MRIs every day for what he does. He didn't know to ask. He didn't know. The technology wasn't quite there. Mm. But it's in place now. And if the MRI is such an important diagnostic tool, because there's a dancer, I've had them four times now. I just recently had to have one because I was in a car accident. And the MRI really can give you the proper image of soft tissues in the body, the brain, the heart. So until I had the MRI, they didn't know that I had two torn ligaments in my arm.
Wow.
They didn't know. I was having therapy, doing all this stuff, and it wasn't getting better. But the MRI told me that I have to now have this arthroscopic surgery. Nice. And I just have to wait, honey, till I finish with Grey's Anatomy, honey, because I can't walk around there, honey, in a cast. I have to be cute. Yeah. I got to be cute. I can't do it. I can't even schedule the surgery. At least I know what it is. So there is new technology that people need to know about, and especially our seniors. I mean, you think about a pacemaker and you think about seniors. They for sure need to know about this, and they need to go to their healthcare professionals, whoever's taking care of them, and ask that question so you can have an informed choice. But they're kids that have MRIs.
I've had a lot of MRIs.
Oh, really?
Well, not a
they're
lot.
Kids
like two.
That need MRIs, but they're kids that have pacemakers. You know, you don't think of it, but they're young children that have pacemakers.
Yeah. Really?
So at that young age, they definitely want to have the latest cutting edge technology, and it exists. So I joined this campaign. I'm going to be in Griffith Park today with a bunch of seniors.
Nice.
I'm going to be dancing with them.
So fun.
And just kind of talking about this. And I think we have to take care of our community. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I'm joining this campaign.
That's
so
amazing.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's great.
It usually helps, you know, when you have some kind of experience with, you know, with health and stuff like that in the family to join this kind of thing where it touches you. you know.
Yeah. It really touches me because I will never forget losing my aunt, Ciola. Mm. I mean, she literally died in my arms.
Wow.
Of a heart attack. And it just ran in my family. Thanks. And it's something I've, you know, looked at for my own self.
Right.
There are congenitive things that you can't really do much about, but some of these situations can really be helped with medical technology. And so I just hope that the world and, you know, the people out there listening will think about if they have to get a pacemaker to be sure and ask their doctor about the new cutting edge technology that there is a pacemaker that exists that is compatible with an MRI. This is brand new.
I see. Wow. Okay, so it's about the pacemaker itself.
Yes.
I see. Okay.
So not the MRI, it's the pace. Okay.
Right.
Well, they combined. Okay. Combined. Yes.
Right. No, I understand, but I didn't realize the technology was in the pacemaker itself.
Yes, it's a new, they call it the Revo, and it's been developed by a company called Medtronic, and they've been partnering with the National Council on Aging to really push this campaign. And I, when I heard about it, and especially after my friend Armando got the pacemaker that does not allow him to have an MRI, I think people need to know that it exists.
Yeah. What's this noise? Do you hear something?
I think it's a car alarm or something.
Is it?
I hear it in here, too. Yeah, I don't know. I'm like, what is that?
I know.
Did you hear that?
Sorry about that.
I don't know. I'm just listening to Sam's voice. That's all I can hear right now.
So now tell me, why do people have to wear pacemakers?
Well, the pacemaker is a medical device that regulates your heartbeat. So people that have irregular heartbeats or they have a problem, some like for Armando started feeling really tired. And in his profession as a muscle therapist, that's what he does. He takes the pain out of your body. He got me through West Side Story. He got me through, oh, my God, Sweet Charity with his hands. It's amazing what he does. And he started feeling really tired and really exhausted, and it was not normal for him. So he went in and found out that his heart was not beating properly.
Wow.
It's like a slower heartbeat. Yeah.
And this technology has been around for a while, but it has so improved. I mean, it used to be something you had to plug into a wall and was a big thing and you had to sit there. Then they made something that could go in your body that was maybe the size of a cigarette, a pack of cigarettes. Now it's a small little round
thing. What I was wondering. I mean, where do they put it in the body?
They put it right by your heart.
Really?
Yeah. You can.
And there's room there for it to fit, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. I mean,
really?
You got to implant this in
really,
the body.
Really, Sam?
You know? Oh, my God. But it's like a little round thing. I mean, you know, I'm sure you probably could put a tattoo over it and you wouldn't even notice it, but it's just a little very it's like the size of a 50-cent coin. Do we have those anymore?
Not really, no.
I haven't seen
those. But I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that small.
Wow.
It's pretty small.
Yeah. Wow.
And it regulates your heartbeat, and then you're able to function.
Right. Now, the company is Medtronic, right?
Yeah, that's the name of the company.
Of the company. Where are they located?
Well, they're in Minneapolis, but they're all over.
Yeah, they'll go anywhere.
They're all over.
Yeah.
And what's great about this company is they are really one of the great leaders in medical technology. I mean, this is the campaign that I'm focused on, but they're doing stuff with diabetes and other heart issues. And not only that, but their foundation is just given over $1 million to Teach for America, trying to stimulate more young people in the world of science and math. So they're really a great community activist. That's what it's the kind of corporation you want to be involved with, that they are really active in the community, trying to make a difference.
Right. And how did you connect with them? How did it all start?
Well, they found me. You know, I had been many, many years ago, I had been a spokesperson for the Heart Association because heart disease is killing more women than cancer.
Really?
And women didn't know that.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we needed to know that. And part of the problem was because the testing, I hate to say this, but it was all done on men, honey. They were acting like the women didn't count. You know, and this has to change, honey. We have to change this equation. So they weren't doing proper testing. But finally, it started to change, and the results were dynamic, that women were dying much more readily of heart disease than breast cancer.
Wow.
And this was a call to action. Women needed to go in and get their tests done and also look at the food that you're eating.
What right.
I mean, come on. I'm down from Texas and Louisiana. Child.
Yeah.
Butter,
love to eat.
Grits, yeah. everything
oh,
is
grit.
Fried. You know, you can have yeah. that in moderation. You cannot because, and the reason I joined that campaign was because women, we're the ones that put the food on the table.
That's
we're the
true.
Ones that design the sensibility of the eating habits in our family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was doing so good with my kids. My daughter was growing up eating a baked potato with nothing on it. Then my husband took her to McDonald's, honey. That was the end. That was the end of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now my son, who is going to Lars Music School, he is so conscientious about his diet because I've been on him all the time. Don't eat all this fast food.
Yep.
So that became a big call for women to be active.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So I think they looked up my profile. They were looking to see who would be a fit. So
right,
somehow
exactly.
they found me.
That's great.
And when they did, I was happy to do it. And then since I started working on Grey's Anatomy, I've been directing Grey's Anatomy for 3 years.
Oh, no way. Congratulations.
Wow.
Yeah,
congratulations.
But now recently I've become an actor on Grey's Anatomy.
Really?
I'm playing a doctor. Dr. Catherine Avery, who did the first penis transplant.
Woo! All right.
What
all right,
a
we
role.
Have to talk about that when the microphone goes off.
Yeah.
So I felt like I was in my world, but while I was preparing to direct Grey's Anatomy, one of the first things I did was I went and watched a 5-hour bloodless bypass operation.
You watched it? You actually
watched
it? Wow.
Yeah, Linda Klein,
wow.
who is the medical producer on this show, she makes everything just, it's so real.
Mm-hmm.
You can't believe it. And I was waiting for the script and I said, I would love to go and see. And I stood there for hours and I watched it.
Wow.
And I watched the heart and I watched, the body being opened and the fat surrounding this particular patient's heart.
Wow.
And I said, we have choices.
Yeah.
You know, it just made me think about my own self, but also what I was doing as an art directing and how the doctors were operating. But then they would talk about lunch and dinner and complain about something to get back. And,
oh, wow.
I mean, it goes on for hours.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So I felt like when this all happened, I felt like, okay, yeah, I can do this. It would be good for me to do this because I think people would pay attention. And certainly some of the older people will pay attention.
Yeah. And it helps, I guess, when you have some experience with it in the family and stuff
right.
to make you more passionate about it and feel sort of a connection to it.
Yeah, I don't know why you do it if you don't have a connection.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's it's not like I'm president of the United States. I do have a little time, but I'm busy doing a lot of things. But I care about our seniors. I care. You know, when you go in other places around the world, the elders in the community are so valued. And in America, we need to turn that clock back around.
That's true, huh?
We really do. We
yeah.
really do. I mean, I just think we are such a disposable society. We have plastic bottles of water.
Mm-hmm.
We throw away cups. We throw away napkins. We dispense with things as opposed to holding things close, retooling them, and our elders, one of the most valuable resources that we have in experience and knowledge and understanding and so many things that I think this is certainly a voice for them, especially
right.
as well as younger people.
Yeah, they need people speaking for them, I think. And,
yes.
And this is a noble thing, I think, you know. So so do you go around the country with this and
promote it? I've been in New York and done a whole lot of a lot of television, a lot of talk shows, done a lot of, been around the country on the satellite tour, touched every major market and smaller markets. And we'll see, I travel a lot.
Right.
So anywhere I go, I can talk about it. I mean, I'm going to be in Memphis next week giving a big speech for Black History Month, and I'll talk about it to that audience. I'll be in New York next week. you know, I'm always going somewhere. I'm actually going to Israel again.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'll tell them about it, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to Israel in the spring, and I hope that I get to teach some dance classes there.
Yeah, that would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So do you ever go to Europe and
Yeah.
Like that too?
I just did a big... Well, I directed Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, which played Broadway with James Earl Jones, Terrence Howard, my sister Felicia Rashad. And then we took the show to London.
And it
was amazing there. Sanaa Lathan went, and Adrian Lester, an English actor, played Brick. But I took James Earl and Felicia.
Wow.
And we won the Laurence Olivier Award.
Congratulations.
It was amazing.
That's awesome.
It was amazing. So, yeah, I go to London. I go to Italy.
Yeah, yeah, Italy.
Italy is my favorite place.
I guess my family.
You know, it's my favorite place.
Yeah.
You know, I love Italy so much. I love Italy because they love family.
Yeah, they do.
That's true.
I have found another family there in Positano with Shea Black and Music on the Rocks. And we went there, Norman and I and Denzel Washington, his wife, and all of our kids and, you know, other family members. It's like... traveling with 20 people, child.
Yeah.
And they would embrace us, and we could take the little ones into the club. We could take them anywhere.
Yeah.
It was just in the family way that it just doesn't exist that much here.
Yeah.
Not
mm-hmm.
like that.
I
love it.
I
and then the food, honey.
Oh, yeah.
But
get me in trouble there.
Well, you know what? They have the best diet because they don't, you know, you're walking constantly.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly walking and you're eating a lot of olive oil, which is good for you, and a lot
it's
of
really
fish.
Good there, yep.
Yeah.
I love it down south in Italy. It's my favorite.
Yeah, it's really cool. So now in the final minutes, what would you tell people that want to get started in dance, young people?
I would say wherever you are, look and see what school offers even a small comprehensive vocabulary. Offers ballet, offers modern, maybe hip-hop. Or if you're just interested in ballet, find a school that just does that. But I would go searching. If you're here in Los Angeles, I would say come to the Debbie Allen Dance Academy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Just go on
go
our website,
yeah.
DebbieAllenDanceAcademy.com. But there are other schools. There's the West Side Ballet. Lulu Washington has a school. There are other schools that I might not even know about. Mm-hmm. The dance studios that just focus on hip-hop.
Right.
Yeah.
So
just,
it's important to find a good school.
Yeah.
I think so. And I think parents, you know, need to find some kind of artistic outlet for their children.
Agreed.
Especially if they're not happening in school.
Right.
I mean, the elementary schools and the public schools, this is going to be something. I may be coming back on this show sooner than later because we may have to have a major gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it needs to be a mission of women. To take on this whole thing of the public schools.
Right.
Because women are the ones we've given birth, we're the ones, you know, not that men don't, but women are held responsible mostly for education in the family.
Yeah.
And
true,
I think we need to have a loud voice about what's happening in the public schools, and arts education has got to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I invite everybody to come to the Debbie Allen Dance Academy. We have room, and we're located
definitely.
In the Baldwin Hills Crenshaw Plaza.
Uh-huh.
Lots of parking, and actually the center there is promising to build us a bigger studio, even more state-of-the-art, which we're looking forward to, but we're happy doing what we're doing now. We have a hip-hop intensive in the summer.
I'll have to check that out.
A tap festival in the summer.
Nice.
A month-long intensive in July. I'm teaching there. Just log on to the DebbieAllenDanceAcademy.com and you'll see what programs we have now and all the things we have coming up.
And I would imagine it's all different ages as well, right?
Yeah. We start at 4 years old.
Really?
My early birds, that's my most precious, my most precious group. I call them Pharaoh's Army because they don't stop coming. They just keep coming, coming. We have those early birds. They have their own intensive in the summertime.
Aww.
We have 3 weeks where they have their own time, nobody but them. It's incredible to see a five-year-old dancing flamenco.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, parents are shocked that they can come in and leave their kids all day and they are adjusted and like being there in the summer program.
Yeah.
But they come like three times a week and they study tap and ballet and flamenco.
Wow.
It's exciting.
Do you have any adults coming in too?
Yes, we have adults. Yeah. We have open classes for adults.
Uh-huh.
And we have a great African class. And we're getting ready to start a new salsa class. We're going to start it on...
Ask about that.
Yeah, we're going to start it on Monday nights in about 2 weeks. I'm just got to get a sign-up sheet to make sure I have at least 10 people coming. And then we'll start that salsa class. We had it before, but we stopped and, you know, prioritized. But we got to get back to it.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. So remind us again of the event today. I'm sure some people will probably want to go check it out.
Yeah.
It's between 1 and 3.
Yeah.
At the Griffith Park Adult Community Center.
In the auditorium.
Yes.
The auditorium, right.
Yeah.
Lunch served at noon.
Dancing.
Wow.
and people can go on the website, jointhepacemakers.com, and find out all about this new technology and anything that we're doing.
Yeah, that's interesting stuff. So, over at the Griffith Park, you're going to dance? Are you going to speak there,
too?
Yeah,
I'm going to speak to them and talk to them and mingle, and then we're going to have a little salsa class and dance and have some fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
So I would imagine you still dance, right? I mean,
absolutely.
It's in your blood. Yeah, you
always my
dance.
God. I don't think I could ever stop dancing.
Yeah.
I was in our recent production. We do a production called The Hot Chocolate Nutcracker. It's hilarious.
No, it sounds great.
The rats take over the story. So I play a rat. I did it, and Raven Simone and Carlo Imperato from Fame and Dion Watts. It was amazing. So I was dancing just now. So
that was great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Wow.
Really great.
Well, Debbie, thank you so much for joining us.
I really enjoyed this.
You're
time
great.
Went by so quickly.
I know.
You guys
of course.
Are great, and
you're
it's always fun. I'm talking about yourself. Time always flies.
This is true.
You are so cute, Sam. I'm determined to get you in a class. As soon as we start this class,
you have to.
I'm going to call you so you know it's happening and you've got to come.
Yeah. Yep. I can't see myself dance, but maybe I could.
Oh, come on.
I used to love it when I was young.
Yeah.
I would dance.
You
got to
get back into something.
Forever young. Forever young.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Okay. And so it's, give the website again for your dance school.
Jointhepacemakers.com.
Okay. And your school?
The Debbie Allen Dance Academy. You can log on to the DebbieAllenDanceAcademy.com and find out.
Sounds good. And I'm sure if people want to find about you, there's information all over the internet.
Yeah. And if they want to find out about what's happening in the schools, there's LA Arts. There's just look up LA Arts. There's a lot going on right now.
Yeah.
And we got to fight that fight too.
Yeah.
There's a lot we got to do.
So do you think it's actually going to help? I mean, do you think they might keep those programs after all?
The voice of the people counts. You know, we elect these officials.
Yeah.
We pay hard-earned dollars in taxes.
Right.
We have to have a voice. And where the educational system is going, the public schools is a dinosaur. They were born on the Industrial Revolution. We're in the age of, you know, internet, computers, and young people have got to come to another place. And the arts is a big part of that.
Yeah.
Innovation. Why? How could we have iPod or iPhone or even Facebook if someone wasn't creative?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's part of what has to, that other side of the brain has got to be awakened and used and stimulated.
Yeah.
And it needs to start when they're in elementary school. You can't wait till they're 15.
Yeah.
By then they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think art is therapeutic too,
it's,
you know?
It's really therapeutic. And I worked a lot with juvie kids. And it's like, if you bring art or music or dance into their lives, they've got something else to do. Maybe they don't fit in with school or whatnot.
Yeah.
They don't get it, but it gives them a whole other side to like focus on. Like, well, maybe you got in trouble for tagging. Well, guess what? I'm going to show you how to really take that art and do something with the community with it. Or, you know, there's so many things like, honestly, like taking art out of school is just going to, it's going to cause so many more issues.
Yeah, I think
it's not an option. We have got to stop this.
Mm-hmm.
That has got to stop the bloodletting on the kids. The kids have no voice, and those kids will be disenfranchised. These kids have no way to go and have private classes. You know, we're talking about the kids that really need it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Debbie Allen, thank you so much. Yay! Fascinating guest.
Yay.
All the best to you with everything.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. Have a great, great day.
Thank you. And
bye.
We'll see you all tomorrow.
Bye.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta.
which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Bridgetta is an LA Talk Radio production, where we say what we want.